With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. A 2025 survey by the International Food Information Council found that over half of Americans either have, live with, or know someone affected by a food allergy, intolerance, or sensitivity. Aspirus allergist Dr. Elizabeth Ender says there's a lot of different theories on why food allergies and intolerances are increasing. Some of them include people being raised in increasingly sterile environments, changes to how food is processed, and delayed immune system development.
These are still kind of in the theory stage, and we don't have for sure reasons why that might be increasing.
There are at-home tests that advertise being able to detect food sensitivities, but Ender warns many lack scientific backing and can lead to misleading results. If you suspect a food allergy, intolerance, or sensitivity, Ender recommends starting a detailed food and symptom journal. Write down what you eat, note when symptoms appear, and describe their intensity and duration. Over days or weeks, this record reveals patterns and triggers that you might otherwise miss.
Writing down all the ingredients that went into that meal can be super helpful, because that's where then we use the food tests to help us figure out, well, which one of these foods is the most likely cause of the reaction? And then, okay, now can we challenge to those foods and determine which thing actually caused the symptoms?
The most common food allergies in the U.S. include milk, eggs, wheat, soy, tree nuts, peanuts, sesame, fish, and shellfish. Common examples of intolerances include lactose, gluten intolerance, and fructose. Support for local health coverage on WXPR is brought to you in part by a grant from the Rhinelander Health Foundation. Wisconsin will hold a sharp-tailed grouse hunt this fall for the first time since 2018. The season will run October 18th to November 9th. An application period is in progress until August 1st for entry into a limited drawing lottery. State biologists noticed a steady decline in sharp-tailed grouse numbers beginning in the 1990s. Habitat fragmentation and a decline of the pine barrens the birds prefer were believed to be the reason. Efforts have been underway since that time to restore and reconnect sharp-tailed grouse habitat, and the population has been growing. This year, the Sharp-tailed Grouse Advisory Committee felt the population had recovered enough to support a limited harvest. The new state budget includes more than $40 million to help fund repairs at the aging dam along the Wisconsin River in Rothschild. Representative Brent Jacobson says the structure is beginning to fail in some areas.
Not to the point that the dam was going to bust open, but certainly leaking is not a good thing, and it's to the point where the federal government told them that this needs to be addressed in the very near future.
Jacobson says Domtar will contribute to the repairs and has committed to keeping jobs in both Rothschild and Nacoosa as part of the deal.
We know they have to do it. We know it'd be a substantial chunk of change out of their pocket that could otherwise be going into upgrades within their facilities to keep those mills up to date, right? And that's the way we're looking at it.
Jacobson says the work involves replacing some of the original elements of the dam, including wooden sections.
You're talking about a lot of concrete that's got to come in to replace that about 300 feet of old wooden section.
Jacobson says it is an example of everyone working to prop up an important industry in the region.
Federal, state, and local, and then also private sector commitments. So, but, you know, it's just it's an expensive task, yet it's a critically important industry to Wisconsin and to central Wisconsin.
The project was one of the largest budget items specific to one assembly district. The final price tag is about $80 million. Some of the work is already underway. A 100-megawatt solar project in rural Polk County is set to begin operating this year. It has a unique focus on investments in youth. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Developers say the Apple River Solar Project will be able to power about 26,000 homes and offset CO2 emissions by nearly 130,000 metric tons. That's the equivalent of taking about 31,000 cars off of the road each year. Jeff Ringblum with Geronimo Power, formerly named National Grid Renewables, says the project will provide economic benefits to the community and a monetary donation to the Amory and Clayton school districts totaling $500,000.
We've always been founded under the pretense of being what we call farmer friendly, but that really encompasses the entire community and all of the stakeholders that are engaged. So we try to give back to the communities in which we operate in.
Both school districts are located in rural areas of the state. The funds will be distributed to them over the first 20 years of the project's operation. Ringblum says they estimate the project will bring in about $36 million in that time period, including about $10 million in new tax revenue. I'm Judith Ruiz Branch reporting.
Researchers at Michigan State University are testing whether solar panels can be installed on farmland without removing crops or livestock from production. Harvest Public Media contributor Alexandria Ladisky reports the study explores whether this system can support both agriculture and clean energy.
The approach is called agrivoltaics. It involves placing solar panels between crops or letting animals graze around them. Charles Gold is a bioenergy educator with MSU Extension. He says the model is already showing economic potential for Michigan farmers.
They'll get paid for grazing their animals, and they'll be able to sell the lamb to the market. So essentially, they have two income streams coming in to the farm.
MSU's first field trial is underway at a research station in western Michigan, where apple trees are growing under solar panels. Results could take several years. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Alexandria Ladisky.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.